This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto. Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. I have a hell of an episode for you today. You're going to want to stick around and listen to this thing. First, before we get started, a word from our great partners.
More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training.
Hey, did you know that NAPA Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, welcome back. Look, a lot of great stuff is going on in my world. 10 years celebrating our 10th year anniversary since March of 2015. And we've kind of decided that we're going to call what we do episodic education. And, you know, that's what we do. We produce episodes. And I'm not a fan of training. I'm a fan of education because training is something you learn to do over and over again the same way, like, you know, sports people and how we train animals. But us individually, it's all about continuing education. So we're calling it episodic education. Let's get started. I'd like you to meet my great guest, Craig Noel. Hello, Craig.
Mr. Capriotto, how are you? Good morning.
I'm so glad to see you. Sun Automotive, Springfield, Oregon, over on the westest coast, or the left coast, they call it.
Left, west, shady side of the country. We're here.
And a boy, 4 locations. How you doing that?
4, soon to be 5. Our ADAS center is coming upon us pretty quick. So, yep.
An ADAS center. I mean, I'd love to just talk about all of that. In fact, you should come back and we need to talk about that because I believe ADAS as a specialty is hot. It's big. And I think we as an industry are ignoring some of the safety issues that we need to do for our clients. And if they say no to it because they're smarter than you, then you may want to refuse the job unless you could do it right. And there's all kinds of discussions going on out there. I hear a lot of stuff being purchased. But anyway, a whole bunch of interesting things are going on in the life of Craig Noel.
That is true.
You're having staffing challenges. You recognize a shift in work-life balance. You also believe in making a shift in the rebranding of our automotive careers, which you know is in my wheelhouse.
1,000%. You and I are singing the same sheet of music.
And man, I got to tell you, I have been on this professionalism kick, so I can't stop talking about it wherever I go. And it's not only the professionalism of our culture, our people, the way we treat our clients, but also I'm in this big kick on how we look today, because you've always heard me say Hollywood has this particular view and venue of what a mechanic is and the kind of place that they work at. But I'm also not sure that we're wearing the right uniforms and we're groomed in the right way to have this level of ultimate professionalism. And so, listen, I could have 1 million people on my side and 1 million people against me in that vernacular that, you know, people want to be who they are and look who they are. But I also think the culture of the shop brings in the kind of people that look and act professional. So maybe another time or maybe later in the show, we can talk about that. But let's get started on this. You lost 3 technicians in 3 months. Whoa.
Yes. And interestingly enough, it was definitely a good decision on both of our parts. Wasn't a me thing. It was a them thing. One went to the plumbing trade as a apprentice, leaving me as an apprentice after waiting 2.5 years to receive the call, surprisingly enough. And he took the chance, understand? The first one that left my ATEC, we call it an ATEC, but I don't want to do that anymore, to a situation which was toxic and I had to make a culture versus production decision. However, the last one was the one was the what we call the nail in the coffin to wake me up to what this industry has done. 48-year-old diesel technician said, I'm just done. I'm done with the industry. I'm done beating myself up. He is, to his credit, a welder fabricator, and he went to a custom street rod muffler exhaust company so that he can be a fabricator and specialist relative to metal. However, it was that realization that the industry has done him wrong, in my view. The real self-looking in the mirror relative to how I can impact the industry has evolved very much over the last month. To what you kind of speak to all the time, Barn, you know, I can remember the shift between being called a mechanic and a technician. Late 80s, early 90s, now all of a sudden, I, as a technician at the time, have a laptop in front of me and I have to start doing things that are a little bit out of the norm for me, right? We took it upon ourselves to shift at that point and say, no, I'm a technician, not a mechanic. And we took pride in that title, that recognition. And I think here we sit now, 20 years later, and all of these different areas are so technical on a car. How can you simplify it and call somebody a mechanic anymore? You cannot. You cannot. And I think that that in and of itself is a big topic to talk about because of the different tentacles that I think we as an industry have to absorb as responsibility to be able to kind of change the consumer or public's opinion of what we do. It's a deep topic.
Well, you're singing my song, my friend.
Yes, sir.
And of course, let me use this moment, not for any self gratification, but to remind our industry of this incredible declaration that I wrote, that I'm giving keynote speeches all over the place on the rise of the specialist. I think this is an important language shift. I know that you're bought into the value of this shift in professionalism and what we call ourselves. We are specialists. I don't care how you look at it. You go to a cardiologist, a urologist, all the ists that we have in the medical field, and they are focused in on one particular element of the human body. And in many cases, our technologists, automotive technologists that work in our bays, they're a high-level diagnostician, troubleshooter. And even though there's a million choices in front of them as to how they can move through the ranks, so is a neurologist, as an example. There's so many things going on that I think the word specialist is so critical today. And you know, you're right about the word technician coming on board, you know, maybe less even 10, 15 years ago, but now everyone else in every other industry, there's roofing technicians, there's HVAC technicians, there's even nail technicians to do ladies' nails. And the word technician has been picked up because it's pretty cool. There's beer technicians at these big breweries. I've seen the shirts. And we looked at this one guy and we said, no, you're a specialist. You know beer.
Hops specialist.
Oh my God, a hop specialist.
And you know, if you think about this, I don't know that this needs to be even entertained as a light topic. And I'll tell you why. If you think about one specific area of a vehicle, the expansive knowledge, education that we require now to be able to even service that system, the requirements are not even close to what they were 20, 30 years ago. They're not. And so for us to use the word specialist or technology specialist, it is no far cry from what the truth is on that, especially when if you look at the medical field relative to what we do, last I checked, a physician has two models to work on, and we have what, 300 plus? But we have to be a specialist within each one of those 300. Let that sink in for a second. So what we do is important. And I think that the shift, there are two things going on. We talked about this before. But one of the shifts is it's going to be very important for us to be able to educate the consumer and complicate it in a rightful, fair way so we can start to describe to them that this is not easy. And unfortunately, Carm, our industry has done it to itself. And we have just simplified it, made it thought, oh, you can hook a computer up, wing, ding, wing, wing, wing. You can just go ahead and figure this out. And it is not the case. And so we have to slow this thing down and literally educate and complicate. I don't mean complicate in a bad way, but educate through how complicated it is to explain how special these people who have chosen to enter our industry are.
Well, you couldn't be more right, and I am in a total support of you. By the way, I forgot to mention, if someone wants to download this declaration, remarkableresults.biz, B-I-Z, /rise, you'll get right to it, be able to download it and read it. We even have a page in there, Craig, on exactly how to implement this inside of your company. And
Yes, I do. I'm a signer of the declaration. I encourage everybody to do it. I think that what needs to be one of the takeaways from this is the absolute recognition to be able to reward those people that love the recognition, love the badge, love I use the word recognition all the time, but to show them the respect that they deserve is well over time that we give it. And I think that this shift is going to be very important for that.
All right, look, we've had some really great discussions in the last couple of weeks, just hanging out, talking Craig Carm stuff. You were telling me that you've observed some kind of shift from flat rate to help work-life balance work up.
Yeah. And my takeaway over the multiple exit interviews through other colleagues that I've had extensive contact with who are throughout the entire country. So it doesn't matter what demographic, political state, whatever it is. What is very clear are, I think, three elements that are taking place, right? The first one is COVID, I think, put the nail in the coffin relative to the last of the baby boomers and the older Gen Xers. I think that my diesel tech was proof of that. What I'm also seeing is that there are a lot of people around the country who are experiencing the same thing. Techs are done. They're done. What's that mean? Well, I am a true flat rater at heart. I'm driven. I'm self-motivated. I'm self-competitive, competitive with others. And obviously, I like making money, but I thought that the internal mental challenge of, you know, winning and beating and fixing the car was great. What I am learning is that mentality is very rare anymore. It's only there to some of those middle-aged guys that have been around for a while. And what we are seeing is we are seeing a true shift to work-life balance. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I can remember late nights. I can remember putting in the Saturdays. All that stuff that I actually now promote not. I mean, we're not going to be open on the weekends. I want everybody to have time with their family. But now the shift into recognizing that I don't need a lot of money. What I need is quality time with my family, my kids, or my hobby, or whatever it may be. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. But I think that as business owners today in this field, we're going to have to adapt. We're going to have to adapt to that mentality, to that production target. And also factor in what you and I are talking about today relative to retention, recognition, and all those other things that are going to excel and cause our industry to be recognized better so that we are more valued in the community.
You spent a lot of time at Ford.
20 plus years.
Senior master technician. You worked your way up through the ranks as team lead, service advisor, and assistant service manager. Is this flat rate stuff just, you know, built inside because of that?
I think it unfortunately is. And I think that we need to, I am pledging, I'm telling you right now, tomorrow, I introduce my new pay structure to my lead technologist of my company, which will introduce five different phases of recognition and expectation. But I think it is well time that those people who have all of this, but less in their hands and their back, deserve recognition and support. So it's going to take a lot of heavy lifting on the industry's part to be able to take this shift away from what I do believe flat rate, which that doesn't mean there can't be incentives. Please do not misunderstand what I'm saying here. But what I am saying is that we need to look at a very generous, respectful backstop, right? We used to call it a guarantee, but a backstop. Here's why. Here's what needs to change. We need to get rid of that nip at the heels that I've discovered through exit interviews that is a constant nag about a guy needing to make rent. Gosh dang it, I didn't hit my 80. I'm not, gosh dang it, didn't hit the bonus. Gosh dang it, I wanted to go fishing this weekend. That constant, either conscious or subconscious nip, and I had it, I felt it. It was what it was back then. But dang it, does that have to be there? I think there's a better way for us to be able to recognize them, to make them feel more comfortable, so in the end, they don't have that nagging subconscious erosion of the flat rate system, and then they're more relaxed to be able to do what you want them to do. I think I figured it out, and we're going to see what the next 6 months look like, but I'm not going to sit around. I'm going to take the lead on this.
Are you an NAPA Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the Premier Tier NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified Program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified Napa Auto Care Program, powered by your local brand, will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of gold. Now, Napa Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the Napa online locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local Napa sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Autotech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your Napa sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Craig, I'm in awe of what you just said. I figured it out. Listen, I've been involved for years in big shifts in things, be it pay, be it hours, be it software strategy, all that stuff. And you sit down with a whiteboard, if you will, and it's usually blank or yellow pad, and you start putting down your thoughts and your challenges. And hopefully at the other end of those written pages or of that whiteboard, there's an answer. And if not, it challenges your think. What was your methodology of getting to this big, heavy lift that you're going to introduce tomorrow?
Well, I'm a big analogy guy. So if we look at the movie Jerry Maguire, this is a reversal of the Jerry Maguire moment. You're actually allowing the technician to be Jerry Maguire. Help me help you. Think about that. All right. So how are we going to help them? First of all, I'm going to recognize the fact that they are highly educated. Second, I'm going to reward that by how they've achieved their status and then being able to reward them. What's the reward? Comfort. I want to make sure that they know I've got their back. They don't have to worry about saving up for winter so that they can go ahead and make it through summer. No. Last I heard, the doctor still charges for an x-ray in the winter, just like they do in the summertime. Last I found out, I think a lawyer is about $50 an email. So, hey, my time, my technician's time is very valuable. So I'm going to make sure that they know that they've reached the level of respect and comfort and that they understand that now I've got their back. And then I've built in the incentive portion of it to reward them for those who are self-driven, who want to come in and, you know, only take a half hour lunch and, you know, let this last 30 minutes of the night, I'm going to finish this one up and wrap up my day. And I still want to reward that hard work. So it's going to be a balance between recognition based upon their status with me and their ability with me and take away that nip in the heel. At the same time, they get to feel within my company that they have been recognized for what they've done. That's the key right there, Carm. We are not recognizing what these people have done for the industry. Therefore, if we don't reward it, they're not going to be willing to pay it forward. To whom? The young people that are coming up behind them. And here's the third element of what I'm talking about. I think we have a 3 to 5 year void between when we start to see an influx of those young people who have decided to come into our industry and are in vocational school right now.
You know, we've heard over all the years, talk about unprofessionalism, of how many senior people to say, hey, don't come in this business.
Yeah, I have witnessed it. And Lord, if I'm sitting here saying to everybody within my company, you are going to pay forward your knowledge and help these people so that they are not discouraged. But then all of a sudden, when you sit there and hear somebody say, yeah, kid, you don't want to do this. Hold on a minute. Why? Well, one is the physical nature of it. We can't necessarily change that to a degree. I think we can by encouraging help with your fellow coworker and not telling somebody they've got to handle it themselves and buck it up and pull your bootstraps up. But I do believe that we need to recognize their stripes. And that's what it is, right? We got to recognize the generals. I'm not secretive about this. If this helps everybody else in the industry think about this twice, I'm all for it.
Do your people know where the money goes in the business, how the P&L works?
Yes, I am very open about understanding how my business works because I associate it a lot with household analogies. So they understand.
So when you say help me help you, this is what we need to grow the company, to provide raises, to buy new equipment, all this. Here's the profit we need. If you're going to help me help you, but I also want a new pay plan and I want more engagement and I want recognition and I want rewards and I got your back. I love the idea of somebody then saying, well, Craig, what about this? In your quick think, because you know and they know where the money goes, you could make decisions based on how it's going to affect sales, margin, and profit.
Absolutely. So what I described to them is how you look at each individual stall. We all, as business owners, we know what it is. And I go through the math to explain to them, hey, how do we make sure EWEB's paid? EWEB is our electric company here in town, right? So I explain to them, so how do we make sure that our budget is taken care of like a household, right? And I go down, I break down the math in regards to how we do that in a company. So each of the technicians are aware of what the expectation is, and therein lies the secret sauce. So if I'm going to recognize, reward, and see the stripes, it's going to come with some expectations. However, what's going to be interesting is that this will all be laid out for those younger technology specialists that will be able to say, I can achieve that. Oh, hold on a minute. Now all of a sudden they're engaged and focused and want to also improve the mental toolbox, not just the physical toolbox.
So instead of defining what A, B, and C is, because there's only 350,000 different definitions, you're saying that in Sun Automotive, we have this thing called an elite status.
That is correct.
And is it kind of what I'm talking about? Or
that is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Our own certificate. You've reached it. Big presentation. Absolutely. Yes.
Wow. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the industry. If we can take this and run with it and you're in a peer group, right?
Yes, sir. Elite Pro Service. A little shout out to Mr. Jim Murphy.
I want to interview Jim again. Can you get him?
You know what? Consider it done. I'll call him today for you.
I love Murphy. He is such a cool guy.
He is.
But why did all of a sudden this grab you by the throat, sit you down and require you to do this? Not require you, but say, this is my future and it starts now.
Because, and I'm going to get a little emotional about it. I entered into this industry just thriving to understand how something worked. I just love how something works today, to this day. I don't want to know that the wiper blade or the wiper motor failed. I want to know what happened in the wiper blade motor or the wiper motor that actually caused it to malfunction. Like, I want to go down to the specific circuit or armature or lever or whatever it is, right? And that drives me because I just enjoy it. And what I've recognized is that, well, at the same time, of course, I love people. So, you know, it just, I love what I do. However, when you start to see people not enjoy that anymore, holy smokes, time out. Because we can't do that to people. We got to make sure that they are enjoying their choice to be in this industry for what it is. And that one really alarmed me. When my last diesel guy said, you know what, Craig? And we had hour-long discussions. I mean, really analyzing, is he making the right call? I know the business that he went to. I mean, I know the owner personally. I mean, we were really trying to narrow down if the choice he was making wasn't emotional or what was it? Was it financial? Was it the industry? Whatever. And what I really discovered is that the industry took away the joy of what he did relative to the flat rate push that everybody's not going to like. And I'm like, hold on a second. We can't do this to these people who choose to enter our industry. It's not right. As passionate as I am about it, I love this industry. To be able to educate, you know, car owners and consumers in regards to what we do so they're part of the process and actually say, you know what? That was worth, you know, $2,700. I understand now. Not like, oh gosh, my vacation's ruined. You see the shift? It's all encompassing. It's everything that we do at the front counter and educate and kind of establish that value to the consumer so they understand that what the technician's doing back, it's important work.
Craig, what's the percentage of your peer group that are flat rate still?
Oh, most of them. So through this discovery process, I've tried to establish different types of pay plans and hybrids. And unfortunately, it's kind of there because the business owner is so focused on the production end of it that they don't fully embrace the culture side of it. And that's the shift.
Okay. And is it plain old upright, straight up flat rate, or is it flat rate plus any other kind of incentive, performance, bonus, team, anything?
I've seen hybrids where there's still an element of production, but the backstop, and that's the key, the backstop, let's just call it for, you know, the radio public out there, the guarantee, it's low. It's like, well, you know what? We're going to make sure you can buy milk and bread. Now stop. I mean, have they gone in this industry 20 years? With all the training and education to get to a level where, hey, I want to make sure you're getting, you know, bread and water rations. But that's the wrong way to look at this. I'm sure a physician, because he only had 3 calls and Johnny only needed stitches and one guy had the sniffles, he's not reducing the amount of money that he's bringing in. So hold on a second. We need to rethink the expectation of our people. And the industry has not helped ourselves. I'm just here to tell you.
All right, I'm with you. Okay. This seems to be lending itself to the recruitment and retention strategies that we have to do so much more of. And so there's no doubt that the retention piece is there. And we could talk retention for 3 or 4 hours right now and all the elements that go into it, including your recognition, including the rewards, including the career pathing and the training, all of that. You think it's going to be a little easier to sit across from someone in a recruiting mode and be able to say, do we have a plan for you? Because we know you and we know what your needs are. And we have studied the kinds of income and rewards that you want. Let me lay out this great plan. Is that part of your strategy?
Absolutely. Because people do respond, even the younger generation who have chosen to enter the industry, they do respond to a path that's laid out. If they know that they can do and it's possible, you'd be surprised at how they respond to that. It's not just a, okay, come aboard. You're one of my guys. No. What can you achieve? Because that's the other part of this, Carm. I think that younger people don't understand that there's so many different avenues to grow, to be recognized within our industry now. You're not just a front-end guy. No, not anymore. You know what? There are so many areas that are so driven by technology, you can end up being an ADOS specialist, right? Whereas you don't even have to touch a bolt on a car for the most part. And now all of a sudden we're dealing with nothing but targets and recalibrations and PCMs and software and all this different IT stuff. That's a different avenue. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. I don't have to break my knuckles? No, you don't. Oh, I'm a diagnostician and I can actually go through all those things preliminarily to give it to somebody who might have to now choose to only bust his knuckles because he doesn't want to go down that path either. There's so many different avenues that somebody can excel in. That's the trick.
Boy, you are right. You said ADAS specialist, and I will challenge that think, and I would love to call that a calibration specialist. And here's why. I knew you'd agree. When we say the words that we use or the acronyms that we use to our clients, it really does put them in, all right, there's another piece of BS that they're telling me, whatever an ADAS thing is, and then they try to look it up on Google, they can't get it right. But if we say a calibration specialist, and they can so relate to that, and they could look it up and they could find out, you know, calibration specialist for automotive, they'll get this thing and maybe on their very own research and realize how critically important it is that you care and you're doing it.
Absolutely correct. I mean, when we talk to clients about how technical things are, let's talk about the ADAS system and how a brief description of how important that system is. And you're saying to Mr. Smith, well, Mr. Smith, in a storm and at night, your car needs to decide whether or not that object coming 300 yards ahead on a left-hand turn is a tree or a truck, and make a decision in 1 millisecond about how to deploy airbags in case you run into a deer. I think that the calibration needs to be spot on and accurate. And that's how technical this system is relative to your safety. Heck of a lot different than, well, it needs to be recalibrated every year, Mr. Smith. You know what I mean? So just through that education process, we're learning.
Recently, I sat in on, for about an hour, on one of Keith Perkins's classes on ADAS training calibration. And he showed this document, this graphic on this 1% off on the radar going down the road at so many feet, and how the radar was looking way left of the rear left bumper of the vehicle to oncoming traffic. It wasn't going to do a good job of braking, cruising, anything because of that gap. And we need to explain that to our people. And I don't think we're getting educated enough. This whole thing reminds me of ASE and the value that ASE brings to the industry, and how the fact that, yeah, I think they're stepping to the plate and helping to promote it to the public better, but that we haven't embraced that and promoted it better. And again, I go back to the whole recognition you're doing, and I want to see ASE certs inside of your About Us pages on websites. I want us to be so proud of our peoples and our team. It just goes back to the wording that we're using inside of our own industry is too technical to our customers. And I don't think we're spending enough time explaining.
Oh, 100% agree with that. I'm well ahead of the curve on that, because through education, that establishes our value. And if we establish our value, are we not more valuable? And how are we going to pay our technologists and specialists top wage relative to the respect that they deserve?
I know where I was going with that. Great friend of mine, customer's car had the check engine light. Maybe it was an ABS light. And calibration after calibration after calibration. Couldn't get the camera on the windshield, looking up things, calling friends, networking, couldn't figure it out. Found this crazy post all by its lonesome. And it said, talked about spiderweb. He looked, he couldn't see it. He took his camera from his smartphone, went right up to the top, snapped a picture, and he brought it back. And son of a gun, didn't the camera have webs, spider in there? And how many of us, the customer, don't worry about it, leave it on. Well, where's the integrity of the shop owner, of our technology specialist, accepting that? It shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be. You're 100% correct.
And he was the second or third guy up to the challenge. People just kept walking away from it. It's like we're spending trillions of dollars on this technology for, in my opinion, all the right reasons. And we're not paying attention to how it originally was designed to work.
So apply it to the flat rate mind. So if now you're told you're only going to get an hour to find that cobweb versus, you know what? He's got my back. Now it re-engages the interest to find the problem, and we are problem solvers.
One of the things that I love about what you're talking about and the caring that you're bringing down to your specialists who work in the bays is to give them the income opportunity, the time opportunity, the recognition, the confidence. Do you know enough about their hobbies? Do they go out and ride bikes, fish on the weekends, go to camp? And if you as an owner knew enough about that for your people, that they were working toward a home and all this other stuff that they want to do in life beyond just giving you hard 40 plus hours a week, to me, that's one of the secrets to professionalism and retention.
Without a doubt. And believe it or not, I'm sure that there are two different types of owners out there. Ones that choose to engage and ones that choose not to. Unfortunately, I'm the one that's like really engaged. So I know all about their kids, their hobbies, what they like to do, whether they like time off, they like money, whether they like surprise things for their hobby, hunting, whatever it may be. That's just me because I enjoy people and I want them to know that I care about them. My motto, not really a motto, is just that my driving force is that I am determined to change the trajectory of each one of my employees' lives. So to do that, I've got to be engaged, know what they like, make sure they're rewarded, recognized, and compensated for really well. And to do that, you have to embrace what you're also talking about, Carm. You just do. We are not going to survive long-term. I'm talking about long-term. Grow the rings of that tree if we don't adapt, change, and put effort into affecting our industry.
Yeah, we hear every excuse. I can't do that. You don't understand. My people won't go to training. Blah, 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 blah. Is it that there's a fear that I just don't make enough money to even move beyond where I currently am? I'm stuck?
Part of it, you know, it's interesting you brought up the training aspect of it. The other part of it was I, up until recently, was a little bit old school. So to put it in perspective, I had to take, 386 additional after-hours training to become senior master certified. Well, if we think of every other industry, I mean, whether it's medical, anything else, electricians, they are putting people in training during the workday, during the working hours. Why is it that all of a sudden we expect these guys to just go home after being beat up and then take another 4 hours away from their family? That even had me think twice. Wait a minute, what's a fair expectation? I can't say, well, you got to pull your bootstraps up and educate yourself as I'm the one preaching grow your mental toolbox. I think we need to start thinking about during work hours training as best as possible, not to misunderstand me and all the after hours, you know, classes are put on by all the other institutions that are just happen to be after work. But I think some of the requirements that we can expect to fulfill, we need to rethink when they're going to do it, because that's also part of rewarding the fact that other industries are doing it. And we as consumers are paying for it.
I recently did an episode on that entire subject, and it was very heartwarming to hear. We close the shop and we take people to Vision. But that is a trend for these big, professional, growing, profitable shops with great cultures. That's going on more and more. And whenever the excuses mount up, it's like, okay, I just don't want to be around that person because the vibes are killing me. I know this person is choking and dying to death. Their secret sauce is they can't pay their bills. They don't even know if they could make payroll on the weekend. They can't retain really good people. They don't even know what a quote-unquote A-tech is. And I can't fix half my customers' cars, but I'm hiding behind this facade that I'm the man. I'm the top dog in the market.
Not helpful at all.
I know. So we've told these kinds of stories episodically all the years I've done business, and all my prayer is that somebody who's listening to this may just say, wow, maybe this was karma, that I'm listening to Craig and Carm. They're talking about great stuff, but near the end, they started to talk a little bit about me. What do I got to do to make me better, Craig?
Look in the mirror and ask yourself this. If you could go back into your career, because every business owners have it, they've got their own career. I challenge everybody to look back at the peak of their career, ask themselves this, if they could change how they were treated, what would it be? And those answers will come, because we have to change from what I think internally we even have those nudges about what we think the expectation should be relative to what we went through. And we have to eliminate that. We've got to erase it. And we've got to re-engage in a different way to retain respect and reward.
Thank you for saying that. And now I want to put some icing on the cake and want to hear you respond. I was recently talking to a bunch of coaches, and we were talking about how they find and get new clients. And, you know, it's social media. It's they're out there training and stuff. And they were telling stories about new clients that they'd get and say, okay, now what are you going to do for me? What's next? What are you going to do for me? So it costs this much, and what are you going to do for me? And right away, they realize that that's not an ideal client. You cannot look to find an accountability partner, an expert, a coach, if all you say to them is, what are you going to do for me? Because it's not, to your point, just a few moments ago, look in the mirror, it's the man in the mirror. It's not what they're going to do for you. It's what, with their guidance, are you going to do for you? You agree with that?
100% agree.
So when you look around your peer group and you see people that maybe years ago needed it and now they're at the top of their game and they're continuing to hunt for a higher mountain, does that just give you the greatest feeling in the world to see your peers and realizing that yourself a few years ago was in the same situation and now you're kind of on top of the world?
A little bit. I'm proud to say that I'm just taking another step towards affecting the industry that I love very much. So if I can bring some of those colleagues with me influence some of those colleagues. I learned a lot more from them than they learned from me. Trust me, I'm no rocket scientist. Well, maybe I am. However, I greatly appreciate all their input. And the colleagues that I'm around that are in my group, they're wonderful, moral-centric people that embrace the industry like I do. And they are outside-of-the-box thinkers. And they're all thinking about this right now because of what they're going through.
There's no doubt that what you're talking about is unique to you. I know it's gone on in some different form or fashion in the industry. Glad to hear your drive on how you got to this particular. It was a great episode. You're always so forthcoming and so giving. I so appreciate you being here. And if you're willing to come on in a few months and say, Carmi, this is what happened when we implemented this.
I'll give you a 90-day recap, sir.
I would love that. I think our industry would love that. And so I so appreciate you being here. By the way, our 10th anniversary, we put it out as a podcast. I interviewed the second, the third, and the fourth interview. It is Town Hall Academy episode 437. It's on your favorite podcast listening app. A lot of neat stuff came out of that episode as we celebrated our 10th anniversary. Now, thank you, Mr. Noel. Appreciate you for being here, Sun Automotive, out in Springfield, Oregon. Four locations, soon to be a fifth ADAS calibration center. Now, whatever you do, my friend, do it well. Thanks.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.